Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Another fancy schmancy edition here, a very regal edition of the show, because we are talking about football royalty. When you talk about football royalty, you're dignified, right? You're splendid. You've got a lot of that going on. And Joe Montana, haven't done a Joe Montana monologue in a long time, because why would you do a Joe Montana monologue? It's not like it's the 1980s anymore. He's Joe Cool, but he's the was the GOAT before Tom Brady bumped him out. Now Joe Montana hanging out. He's 63 years old. But he has found a way, the great Joe Montana, to feed the content machine here at Fox Sports Radio on our little overnight show. And we thank Montana for that. I don't know if you saw this or you heard about it. Maybe not. And you've got other things to worry about. But I'll give you the condensed version. In a nutshell, Joe Montana said of Tom Brady's departure from the Patriots that New England made a mistake in letting Tom Brady get away. Now, he said somebody made a mistake, but he meant somebody with the Patriots, that the Patriots were in error allowing Tom Brady to sign with the Creamsicles in Tampa. So let us discuss the question. Do you agree or disagree with Joe Montana in essentially what he said? Again, the Patriots made a mistake. Oh, he used the M word. He said mistake. Oh, my God. Not keeping Tom Brady. Well, I'm actually going to disagree with Joe Montana on this one. I've got wined and dined Bruce Willis and turkey sandwich. And we will combine all these things together and we'll cook it for about 10 minutes, and we'll see what happens. So it'll be like a turkey melt by the time we get done. Now, Joe Montana, I read the quotes. He was a big interview in the USA Today, and it's bounced all over the place. It gets repackaged all over the interweb. It bounces around like a pinball in a pinball machine. And so there's different versions of it. It was the same interview. It just bounces back and forth. I don't see things the same way. On this side of the microphone, I don't see the Tom Brady story the same way. And God knows we've spent a lot of time talking about this because of the times we're in. But I believe that Tom Brady had ulterior motives. Now, if he had been motivated to work out his difference with the Patriots, then he would still be a New England Patriot today, and they would have made an announcement and Brady would have been back and signed a two-year contract to continue on in New England. It's not that difficult, right? This is not open-heart surgery here. It just would not have had the bells and whistles that the Buccaneers provided if you compare what the Patriots would have offered and what the Buccaneers did end up giving Tom Brady. Like, Brady should have gone down this avenue, but in hindsight, Brady's actions indicated that he was leaning to leaving. Now, I was in denial. I was on the river called denial there, and for over a year, though. But now, in hindsight, looking back, it's all anecdotal in terms of the real estate dealing, selling his house in the Boston area. The contract negotiation was a big one because Brady was the one who wanted that neutron bomb placed in his contract that did not give the Patriots the option to franchise tag him this year. I mean, that would have been the easiest solution for all parties involved. Brady would have gotten another year, franchise tag money, would have been paid a ton of cash, and you know, you wash your hands and say, all right, we'll do it again. He wanted to wander off the reservation. So I thought right up until the 11th hour, I assumed that, well, Tom Brady's doing all this stuff, but when the moment of truth arrives and he's got to poop or get off the pot, he's going to play the game. He didn't play the game. So, sure, in a perfect world, Tom Brady would have finished his career in New England. You get the dopey sports fairy tale. But life is not a fairy tale. Feelings get in the way and muddy the waters. And the reports about Belichick and Brady being at each other's throats and that they really wanted to go their separate ways. Well, clearly, now that Brady's left, you can say for sure that there's something there. Otherwise, why would Brady go to a terrible situation in Tampa Bay? Now, meanwhile, so Joe Montana, he was singing a slightly different song back before we were all social distancing and all that at the Super Bowl. I remember what he said. I remember because I remember things. Montana's advice for Tom Brady, before Brady was a free agent, was he said, if I had to do it all over again, I would try to do everything I could to stay. Meaning he would have stayed with the 49ers. Montana famously ended up with Kansas City and actually got to an AFC playoff appearance with the Chiefs. I think AFC championship game, I believe the Chiefs got to. It's been a long time. But now, see, now Joe Montana he's shifted that statement, which was, hey, Brady should have stayed. My advice is for him to stay because I wish I had stayed. Now Joe's like making this quantum leap that Tom Brady did that and the Patriots rejected his advances, that Brady wanted to stay and that the Patriots said no. Again, here's the way I parse this. Tom Brady wanted to be wined and dined. He was agitated that New England, even in this moment where Brady had every opportunity to leave, the Patriots did not bow down and kiss the boot. It's not in Belichick's DNA to bow down and kiss the boot unless you're Lawrence Taylor. The only person I've ever heard Bill Belichick smother with love is Lawrence Taylor. Everyone else is just kicked to the curb. It's very odd. It's very bizarre, but Belichick coached Lawrence Taylor when he was with the Giants and the assistant with Parcells, and he, to this day, he regales you. He will ambush you with stories about Lawrence Taylor. In fact, it's like a cheat code for the media in Boston when they want to get Belichick talking about something and he's just not into it. Just ask him a single question about Lawrence Taylor, and for the next 15 minutes, he will speak in glowing terms about Lawrence Taylor. But the point is that Brady found someone to take part in the mating dance, and that guy is Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians, let's face it, he was thirsty. He was awfully thirsty for anybody after Jameis Winston, who would not throw a billion interceptions, and so he went down Tom Brady Avenue. All right, now part B of this, as we chat here on Fox Sports Radio. So it is incorrect to say the Patriots made a mistake. I don't think they made a mistake. I believe that Brady should have gone back, and that would have been fine. But Tom Brady is soon to be 43 years old. Now, in the real world, 43 is not ancient. That's the midlife for most. You don't know how long you're going to live, but you hope it's halfway through the game of life. But in sports, that's what we're talking about here. Then you got problems, right? His production. The other thing is you can't look past the fact that Brady's production has fallen off the cliff over the last couple of seasons. Not my opinion, it's a fact. And if you look at this like the movie business and say Tom Brady was in Hollywood, he would be Bruce Willis, right? Bruce Willis is no longer an A-list actor because of age and also lack of performance at the box office. And so he still gets work and he still does things, but he's not an A-lister. Everyone has a shelf life. People aren't like honey. Honey, if I opened a store, I would sell honey. You know why? It never expires, right? One of the problems with owning a business is that your inventory, especially in the food game, everything goes bad, right? You own a restaurant. I feel really terrible for these people that are in the restaurant game because you got to buy certain amounts of food, and then if people won't buy the food, you got to get rid of it by a certain time, and then it expires, and it's rancid, disgusting, rotting garbage. And so it's a problem. Now, it's also, there's a colloquial term that I've used a few times from Wall Street. It's a Wall Street term. And it applies to Tom Brady. Don't try to catch a falling knife, right? They tell you to wait for the price if you're in the stock game. Wait for it to bottom out before buying. Like Tom Brady bottomed out. I mean, the Brady market had a lot, and this is another stock market term. The only thing, I don't believe in momentum, but the stock market, they say downward momentum. Right? It's a big stock market term, market lingo and all that. And listen, the Bucs, in terms of on-field product, the Buccaneers overpaid. They did not pay what they should have for a 43-year-old quarterback. And now, listen, they're going to make their money back in tickets and merchandise and publicity and rah-rah, way to go. But on-field performance, I'm looking at that Bucs defense, which is a hot mess, and that's going to put more pressure on Brady to continue to score points. And you look at his lack of downfield production, and I know they're trying to spin that now. I saw some quotes from Bruce Arians. He was asked about that, and he's, oh, Brady can still throw the deep ball. Well, hey, dummy, you don't know that. All right, because most of Tom Brady's offense with the Patriots the last couple of years have been those little safe high percentage passes to the running back out of the backfield. Haven't been a lot of downfield passes. All right, last word on this Maller monologue. So the one mistake that the Patriots made is not having a plan B. It's a rather big one, right? I'm not going to kill him for not bringing back Tom Brady. It would have been nice if Brady had gone back, but they have been caught with their pants down. And it's very unlike Bill Belichick not to have a contingency plan. I know some people who are Belichick Kool-Aid drinkers are like, well, he's got one. This guy, Jarrett Stidham, that's the guy. It's Jarrett Stidham or bust at this particular point. Think about that. That's where the fate of the Patriots offense at the quarterback position is going to be if there is a 2020 NFL season. And he has been, if you look at his career going back to when he's at Baylor and then Auburn, he has been a looping starship ride at the amusement park, right? He's gone up and down and spinning it all around, right? Sometimes he's really good and other times he blows. And I'm telling you, I've heard, you know, we got guys that love this show. They're big Patriot guys, and they would rather have a turkey sandwich than Jarrett Stidham at this particular point. But what does the gambling market tell us? I always go to the gambling market, try to figure out where this is going, a pretty good indicator. Although, keep in mind, they had Brady going back to the Patriots, the gambling market. They got that wrong. But they got Kawhi Leonard to the Clippers right. They've been pretty good at these odds. So what do they say? They indicate that the Patriots, here are the prop is who will be the Patriots quarterback in week one of the season. And Jarrett Stidham is the favorite. On this, these are from an offshore book, at plus 175. Now, if you're not a degenerate loser gambler, and I get it, yeah, there's a lot of people that don't do it, but there's more of us to do these days. That implies a 36% chance, about 36% that Jarrett Stidham will be the Patriots quarterback. Next on the odds list, Cam Newton, who just got let go from Carolina. And, you know, he's hungry. So somebody feed him. He's hungry. But Cam Newton is at plus 250, and that implies a 28% chance. And then the third option listed on the gambling market for Patriots quarterback week one of the 2020 season is a quarterback not yet listed. That's the one you go with, because you got Stidham and Newton, and then the third choice at plus 300 is quarterback not listed. Now, I'll give you the other names that are listed, but that's a 25% chance. You've got Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, at plus 500. Famous Jameis, the interception machine, at plus 600. The Chop-O-Matic, he does it all. Jacoby Brissett, who's still technically with Indianapolis, at plus 950. Cody Kessler, who's on the Patriot depth chart for some odd reason, at plus 2,000. Derek Carr, the Raider quarterback, still listed because the belief by many in the industry is that Marcus Mariota is going to be the Raiders quarterback and Derek Carr will be kicked to the curb and be traded at some point before the start of the season. Well, Derek Carr's at plus 2, plus 2,500. And then some unknown player the Patriots are going to draft next month is also listed at plus 3,300. Then you got Joe Flacco, Jump Ball Joe, at plus 3,500. That's it. I'd love to see the rotting carcass of Joe Flacco in a Patriot uniform. That would be quite enjoyable.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We'll be skipping rope as we gorge on the Rams. And we have a follow-up. And the great thing about sports, the industrial complex of sports shutting down, is we have time to revisit stories that we've talked about in the past because they have evolved, like this Rams story. We ranted and raved about this the other day in a previous episode of the show. You probably saw this on the internet if you paid any attention. And if you thought the unwashed Ram fan would just stay quiet and say, okay, that's it, fine, we don't, we got a bad logo, but who cares? You are wrong. Several petitions have been making the rounds. Thousands of people have already signed them because they got nothing else to do, to try to unring the bell. That is the effort, to unring the bell, or in this case, undo the logo. And many longtime supporters of the franchise want to wash their eyes out after seeing that disgusting eyesore that was revealed earlier this week. But have no fear. Eric Dickerson is here to save the day, because that's right. The greatest running back of his generation, he has decided to enter the chat. And if you didn't see this, the Hall of Famer, he is a Ram ambassador. He's the Rams vice president of business development, which sounds really impressive, but probably just there to shake hands and kiss babies and that kind of thing and take photos. But Eric Dickerson, who's not bashful, remember, he got into it with Jeff Fisher a couple years back, and Dickerson's back in the forefront yet again. He is not someone that is afraid to speak their mind. And based on what he's been saying on social media, Dickerson is not fond of the 2020 logo reveal. So what happens next? Good question. I'll tell you. Dickerson says he plans on speaking with Ram Muckety Mucks, the big corporate Muckety Mucks, on behalf of the fan in an attempt to get a different logo approved than the crappy one that was released. So let us discuss the question. What are the odds that the Rams end up having a change of heart over this ghastly logo? Now, I'm going to set the odds at plus 400, which implies only a 20% chance that this is successful. Now, I don't doubt that Eric Dickerson's going to release the attack poodles, and he's going to throw those down. But I've got Coca-Cola, UN Peacekeeper, and 1960s sitcom character. All right, I've got all these things, and we'll put these together, and we will make some toilet paper, the most valuable item you can get. Now, number one. The Rams would have to concede defeat. So that's the problem. Right? It's one thing to say, well, listen, hey, we'll do a do-over, but I would not hold my breath. This front office leaves a lot to be desired. They have shown no self-control on the football side, so why would they show any kind of self-control on the business side? And the team's in salary cap purgatory for years to come because of pork barrel spending that didn't need to happen. They jumped the gun on several contracts, and now they're biting the bullet on that. The IOUs have come due. But this is a team that is dysfunctional in every way, right? It's very unlikely that the pig-headed Dingleberries that run the business operation are going to have a reversal, right? They need to have a come-to-Jesus moment in the business sense, but in football parlance, this Ram logo is repugnant. It is the akin to the new Coke of the NFL, right? That's the one of the great... I took a marketing class in school. And I remember they did a whole thing on New Coke, you know, great marketing fails. And it's the ultimate example. I'm sure it's probably still used today. I know it's been a million years. But that is the most notorious product flop of all time, really. I mean, think about 1980s, a long time ago. But it was the Gettysburg of the Cola Wars in that period of time. It was such a debacle for Coca-Cola that they had to pivot lickety split. And the new Coke, they got rid of it within a couple of weeks. They had the original version. They came up with the term classic Coke because the Coke formula had been so terrible that people were up in arms. And there were other bad marketing things, like Pepsi had this clear soda. They call it Crystal Pepsi. That was a disaster. I remember when I was my Big Eatin' days, McDonald's debuted a burger for adults. They called it the Arch Deluxe Burger. And they just bombarded everybody with commercials and billboards and all this stuff. And the burger sucked. Nobody bought the burger. It quickly went away. Well, the Ram logo is in that same range of products. It's just a bad looking logo. They effed up. You know, somebody screwed up somewhere along the chain and correct the mistake. Now, the second thing, I do enjoy the fact that Eric Dickerson, a hero of my youth, the greatest running back of his era, is now playing the role of UN peacekeeper in the battle over a symbol, right? It's about a symbol. Dickerson has become the man of the people. Eric Dickerson, he is a liaison between the clueless executives for the Rams and the working class nobodies that have no way of doing anything, making anything happen. I know the people on the internet that think they have a lot of power, but you really don't. We need to get other former Rams. You know, Jim Everett may or may not be a Maller militia guy, the great former Ram quarterback, Jim Everett, who might or might not be nocturnal. But we got to get him and some of these other influential former Ram alumni to voice their displeasure. And I'm not sure who designed this. I don't know. I would, from what I've heard, it's either Nike, somebody at Nike who had approval of it, and then there's some other marketing firms that the NFL consults with out of Manhattan. But whoever made this monstrosity should be called into the principal's office and reprimanded. Period. Stop. Right? Football logo atrocity is what it is. People generally hate change. I hate change. You hate change. Why do we hate change? There's different reasons for it. I'm a creature of habit, so I have my routine. My routine's all effed up right now because of what's going on in the world, and I'm having to adjust to social distancing and not being able to leave my house and things like that, which is an adjustment. I can't go to the gym, things like that. But it's the same reason like toilet paper has become a commodity. Right now, toilet paper is like oil, gold, silver, and copper. If you find it, you're like, wow, I really got something. But I'll give you, and we talked about this a little bit last night, the Chargers upstaged the Rams. The Chargers, who are so far behind the Rams in terms of popularity in the Los Angeles market, and have done nothing to close the gap, but at least in this particular little episode of the miniseries, the Chargers totally schooled the Rams. Brilliant marketing move. They didn't have any fanfare. They didn't have any big announcement leading up to it like the Rams did, saying, you know, Monday at noon, we're going to show you our new logo. Chargers did none of that. Chargers did none of that. And they debuted a new logo that nobody complains about. Nobody's upset about. Head and shoulders better looking than the Ram logo. The Bolts kept it basic. They didn't try to reinvent the wheel. They didn't need to reinvent the wheel. The Rams didn't need to reinvent the wheel. Just some fine-tuning. Change the colors a little bit. Go back to a classic look. People love classical looks with logos. And these dum-dums, they try to reinvent it. All right, final point. So typically, I am against Big Brother stepping in and meddling in the affairs. I just don't like it. But this type of situation I look at with the Rams, and this is the exception to the rule. Roger Goodell's likely living at his little house there in Maine, hanging out, you know, trying to stay away from everybody right now. He's out of the big city, I would imagine. And he and the marketing people, okay, the marketing arm at the NFL, they need to issue a mulligan to the Rams and order them to clean up this mess. Get some bleach and scrub a dub dub. Okay, channel, let's go back. 1960s sitcom, Hogan's Heroes, Sergeant Schultz. I see nothing, I know nothing, and just use the coronavirus as the fall guy, right? Say, hey, we weren't paying attention, you know, there was a pandemic, everything got shut down, so we didn't actually see the Rams release a logo. This is the real logo. All right, this is the real logo, and here it is. Ta-da! Just like that, right? Just like that. And you can say, you know, and who would know? I mean, we'll all forget about this anyway, right? I won't say anything if you don't say anything. Now, what are the actual odds the NFL is going to do this, right? They are going to get into the fray here. Now, I said there's about a 20% chance the Rams on their own will just decide, okay, we'll give in. Right, we're afraid of the attack poodles, and we don't like the bulls, the pit bulls, the piranhas, and all that are getting ready to attack us. So that's 20%. The NFL, I only put it at 5%. I think there's only a 5% chance that the NFL will get involved in this because they don't really care. You know, now the one thing that I will tell you is, and if no one buys this crap and this is just a dud merchandise sales, no one's buying it. I don't know why anyone's buying anything at this point right now until things calm down. According to the economy, no one's really buying much of anything. But here's the thing. All right. If this is a huge zero in the business side, then that would encourage people at the NFL to say, OK, we got to step in here, right? Because we got to get a shovel and try to put some dirt back in the ground here because there's a big hole and there's a chasm and we need to fix it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop the Loop.
Ben, Michael Thompson, better known to Gen Zers as Clay's dad, appeared on a podcast this week when he said that he thinks that Clay and Steph have 8 more years together as teammates. What are the odds on that happening, Ben?
All right, so I've seen this going around, some podcast interview. I would say there's a less than 5% chance. I will say there's a 3% chance. Why not? I'll be specific. 3% chance. Here's the thing. Life throws you backdoor sliders every now and again, right? You're assuming that everything's going to be going along, la, 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 right? But look what we're going through right now with this coronavirus and the economy shut down, people losing their jobs and all that. When I saw this Clay Thompson story, I remembered the words of Woody Allen, one of the old Woody Allen quotes, that if you want to make God laugh, tell him about your plans, right? It's actually a Yiddish a proverb that he quoted, which is, we plan, God laughs. But the struggle is, I mean, you can say, oh, I'm going to play for 8 more years with Steph Curry, I'm Clay Thompson, and then we're going to jump into the Hall of Fame together, we'll do a dance, an Irish jig. Listen, the second thing here, let's be real, Steph Curry and Clay Thompson, not only are they the Splash Brothers, they are also agile at being fragile. Both these guys have had medical maladies that have marred their career, certainly Curry more than Clay Thompson, but you really have to be an optimist to think that for the next 8 years, these guys are going to be side by side and both going to be successful and not fall off the table, or you have the disease of me step in and then guys get upset, they're not getting enough credit, they want to go somewhere else. It's wishful thinking. Right? It's wishful thinking because people evolve and situations change. All right, next.
Now, Deion Sanders took to social media on Tuesday to express how proud he is of Antonio Brown and how he's been turning things around. Now, it's been a little while since AB's name has popped up in headlines. What do you think the chances are that he keeps his nose clean until the start of the season?
Okay, so the chances that Antonio Brown is able to be on his best behavior is zero, but it doesn't matter. Right? I mean, number one, the word on the street says Antonio Brown, he is going to therapy, he's taking some other steps. That's what I've been hearing to keep him on the straight and narrow. But whatever regimen he's on, and I don't know what kind of daily potions and tonics that AB is using to work, and apparently they are working right now, but if you're pragmatic about this, it's not going to last. I remember Dr. Drew used to talk about this back in the day, and he, you know, the great rehab doctor, and he said that Of all the people that go through Alcoholics Anonymous and rehab, the success rate's between 8 and 12%. So that's why people keep having to go back before they stay on the wagon and stay clean. And then saying that it doesn't matter what the odds are against Antonio Brown. As soon as he is released from the shackles of the NFL-imposed timeout, whenever that is, he will leave the Twilight Zone and they will have multiple offers from teams that are willing to take a flyer. He's not going to make a lot of money, Antonio Brown, but he'll have opportunity in the league. And you got to think that the very first team on that list is Tampa Bay. And if you're the Buccaneers and he wants to play for you and you can pay him pennies on the dollar, what do you have to lose putting him on your roster? All right, next.
Well, now when there's no sports going on, we kind of have to play the what-if game sometimes. So Steve Kerr spoke with The Athletic this week, and when addressing the idea that had MJ not left to play baseball, that the Bulls would have won 8 titles in a row, Kerr said that the idea is ridiculous because MJ needed to get away to, quote, recharge his batteries. Do you agree with him?
No, I don't, but you got to understand, Koopaloop, I am in the cult that believes Michael Jordan didn't have an option. See, I'm someone that buys the deep state conspiracy that the cabal of the NBA forced Michael Jordan to leave the NBA, and he was actually suspended because of gambling. And to save face, David Stern made a deal with Jerry Reinsdorf, because Jordan was the biggest thing in basketball, and said, all right, we'll have him hide out with Reinsdorf's baseball team, but not the White Sox. We'll put him in Birmingham, Alabama, and put him in the minor leagues for a year and a half, and that'll be his punishment. And that'll be that. And so that's my belief. And secondly, listen, you got to remember, those Rocket teams, I hate giving any credit to a Houston team, but those Rocket teams of the mid-90s were really good with Hakeem Olajuwon and the supporting cast they had. And they also, in the regular season anyway, caused a lot of problems for those Chicago Bulls teams. And I went back and I looked up some of the numbers here. And, you know, it's all, of course, anecdotal to say, well, this would have happened if they played in the NBA Finals. But back in those days, Chicago had a bloodbath. The Eastern Conference was dominant. That was where the muscle was in the NBA. Knickerbockers had good teams. The Pacers with Reggie Miller. Orlando had Shaquille O'Neal. It was a struggle to get out of the Eastern Conference for the Bulls. And they had some really tough competition. The Western Conference, marshmallow soft. In that period of the 1990s, for the most part. So Houston, they did very well head-to-head with Jordan and the Bulls. And Olajuwon was an absolute monster. So, you know, listen, I think that Jordan had no choice. He had to go to play minor league baseball. There it is, Mallard of the Third Degree. How did we do?
Ben, you passed this edition.
That is a win. You put it on the board. Yes.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
And it is as we press
it's now
on.
Time for.
Well, hurry, I can hardly wait.
Ask right. Ben.
Twitter!
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
Yes, for the rest of the hour, you can thank the sports world shutting down. We will have an extended version of Ask Ben. Your questions are answers for the rest of the hour, made possible by who? Hey, stop waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal. Take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu. .edu. And I got to tell you, I've gotten a lot of email the last couple days from people that have lost their job. It breaks my heart. And I hope you guys can find work somewhere else. And at least this is worth a shot. Mycomputercareer.edu. Check it out. All right, Koopaloop, what do we have here? Questions from you, sir, for the rest of the hour from the Maller Militia.
Ben, we're going to start off with a question for you.
All right.
This is from Jonathan on Facebook.
Hi, Jonathan.
He says, given the timing of Real Talk returning to the radio, do you believe he is part of the prisoner release program due to the coronavirus?
Listen, I'm glad he is back in the tabernacle of sports talk here. I've heard that theory that they think he went to jail for a little while. I don't know. I mean, it's possible. I have had listeners in my time doing the overnight show over the years that have gone to jail for a period of time, and then they've come back. Usually they announce that they go to jail, like Doc Mike and a few other people. We've even had callers that have called from jail. Remember that guy, the voice guy from Montana that loved Eddie, called him King Eddie, and he had a phone in jail. And but it's plausible that Real Talk spent some time in the big house, and he was on an iron vacation. All right, next.
All right, this one is for everyone. This is from Dave on Facebook.
Hi, Dave.
What were the call letters to your favorite radio station when you were a kid?
Well, I was a big fan of the Jim Healy radio show in Los Angeles, and that was on KMPC 710. On the dial, and he did a half hour show just goofing on everybody, and it was a big influence on me when I was a kid. What about you, Eddie?
It was KBOS. There,
boss,
in,
the boss
in Fresno. It played rock, and I think it later turned into like a pop station, and like really sucked.
That's much cooler than me, Eddie. KMPC was like a. On all full service radio station, they had talk, music, you know, those kind of that early format in radio, and but they had this guy that I loved. What about you, Roberto?
KPWR Los Angeles,
Power,
yeah,
Power 106,
and now it's not the same since Big Boy came over to iHeartMedia.
Yeah. I used to have a friend that she wasn't really a friend, but I knew her. She interned at a radio station I was at, and she became a DJ. I don't know what happened to her. Her DJ name was like Kool-Aid, I think, was her DJ name.
Oh, yeah, I remember her back in the day.
She was cool, man. She was really nice.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I don't know what she's doing these days. If anybody knows Kool-Aid, send me a message.
Yeah.
I hope Kool-Aid's doing okay. She was very nice. We worked together at a station years ago. All right, what about you, Koopaloo?
Well, when I was a kid, the only radio that I really listened to was whatever my mom was listening to. So that would have to be KBIG, KBIG 104.
There you go.
I don't even know if they're called that anymore.
Are they still playing the same? Yeah, I don't think they're calling that. Well, what is the same kind of music?
Yeah, I believe that music is the same, yeah.
I think they're called like My 104.
Oh, yeah, they've rebranded.
Like that. Yeah,
I still call it KBIG. That's what I still call it. All right, Ask Ben, your questions, our answers. What's next?
All right, this one is for everyone as well. It's from No Help on Twitter. What is the biggest crowd you have ever been in, like the estimated number of people, you think?
Well, it would have to be a football game. I would say back in the early days of my career, I was at a few massively filled UCLA-USC games at the Rose Bowl before they renovated it. There was over 100,000 people, or close to it, that were there. And the Coliseum before they renovated it in L.A., same thing. It was like 90,000 plus. What about you, Eddie?
Well, I don't know for sure, but I agree. I'm pretty sure it's the same boat as you, Ben, going to either the Coliseum or the Rose Bowl for a sold-out game. I did go to the national championship game between Miami and Nebraska at the Rose Bowl, and Miami just blew their doors off. It was not a good game at all, but it was sold out, so I'm guessing that had to be around, 90,000, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, they changed it when they renovated it, but yeah, it's in that ballpark. What about you, Roberto? Any big revival or something you were at back?
Kind of like
day?
You. I went to the UCLA USC game when the UCLA had won like 8 in a row, and the game was at the Coliseum. I mean, there was like over like maybe 90,000 in that Coliseum game.
Was that when USC upset the Bruins? And
yeah, it's when the
carried Petros off the field.
Probably it was probably one of those. It was when the
they did.
It was when the streak ended. Yeah. With the Coliseum.
They were so USC was so excited they had finally beaten UCLA that they literally carried Petros.
It probably was that. Yeah, I think it was that game. Yeah,
off the field. I was there. I couldn't believe it.
And then at the
I didn't know him at the time. Though. Yeah.
And then at the Rose Bowl was I was at a Mexico and Jamaica soccer game. A lot of Mexicans in there, man.
How many Mexicans?
It was almost like 85,000, probably.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Right.
What about you, Coop? The biggest crowd you've ever attended? These are all sports. There's other stuff. What other stuff? Like you could go to like a religious event that could have a big crowd. There's not many other things other than sports that have a big crowd.
Well, see, when I first read this question, I, to be honest, I wasn't even thinking of sports. So My answer probably is a USC game, but what I was thinking of is, I guess, the biggest non-sports crowd that I've ever been a part of was Metallica. They started to do their own music festival for a couple of years, the Orion Fest. I flew to that. There was a lot of people there, but I don't think it was, 90,000 like would be in the Coliseum, but.
Well, the non-sports, I guess it would be like the L.A. County Fair or something like that. You know,
like Times Square maybe during New Year's, something like that.
I've never done New Year's. No. Just New York, just walking around New York City, you feel like you're overwhelmed with people. All right, why don't we pause for the cause? We'll have more of Ask Ben. Keep the questions coming in for the rest of the hour. Your questions are answers as long as we can go. But right now, over to Eddie, and we'll stop the music, get you caught up on everything going on in the world of sports. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
And we'll start with Major League Baseball. On the eve of what would have been opening day, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred said in an interview that the league is probably not going to be able to play a full 162-game regular season schedule. NFL news, the Dallas Cowboys have reportedly rekindled talks on a long-term deal with quarterback Dak Prescott, who they placed the franchise tag on a couple weeks ago. The two sides have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal. Former All-Pro defensive lineman Ndamukong Suh reportedly going to re-sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a one-year $8 million deal. The New Orleans Saints signed corner Janoris Jenkins to a two-year extension. Meanwhile, Saints head coach Sean Payton told WWL Radio that he was cleared of the coronavirus after being diagnosed with COVID-19 last week. And in the NBA, the agent for Pistons forward Christian Wood says his client is fully recovered after testing positive for the coronavirus. And news from the NHL, where the 2020 draft, scheduled for June 26th and 27th in Montreal, has been postponed. Now back to Ben Maller in the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios.
And we will get back to Ask Ben here momentarily. We're coming to you from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Just visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Our friend David in Pennsylvania says, hey, bad job by you, Maller. You should have said WKRP. And listen, that's a good point. I that was a big influential show, WKRP in Cincinnati. The turkey drop episode was just wonderful. That was great, and there were so many other moments from that show that I'm geeking out and nerding out on that show. Then they brought the show back and it tanked, it bombed, but likely not many people in Hollywood would sign off on a sitcom about a radio. They had news radio. I think that was the last one, and I don't think any of that's coming down the pike anytime soon. But right back to Ask Ben we go. Your questions are answers for the rest of the hour, and over to Koopa Loop again.
All right, Ben, this is for everyone on the crew. This is from Chris in Houston, or Damien, or whatever. If your spouse tested positive for COVID-2019, would you quarantine them, or would you stick it out with them and risk your health too?
All right, so this is a great question, Chris, and we have discussed this because my wife works at a police station, and police are obviously out in the public, and she's a 911 operator, and so the chances are, you know, if anybody at the police precinct she works at gets this, that she's going to get it. But she said that since we're married, we still have to hang out together and all that. Although I have considered like kind of warding off a side of the house where like she'll be on one side and then I'll be on the other side. But she didn't agree to that. She said no. So I think I'm going to get it if she gets it. I think that's it. What about you, Eddie?
Well, I'm a little concerned about this because my wife does have some lung issues, so she's...
Well, you got to be careful, yeah.
Yeah, she's more susceptible to, if she gets this, it would be worse than if I get it. So if she gets it, I would still, have to help look after her or whatever. But if I get it, then we would be separated.
Okay, so would you go to a hotel? What would your move be?
I don't know. It's a good question.
That'd be a tough... I don't think a lot of hotels would be like, okay, come on in,
I guess I would quarantine myself in like the guest bedroom or something.
You could live like Weed Man and just live in your car for 14 days, right? You got 14 days. You got to, that's we'll have to check in with Justin in Cincinnati, who does have the coronavirus. What about you, Roberto?
Well, if I were to get it, my wife's like, oh, you got to quarantine yourself. So my wife and the daughter would probably leave the house. But if my wife were to get it, I would stick around definitely with her there. And Luckily, our daughter loves being at my in-laws' house all the time with them, so she could probably stay there, so she wouldn't get it.
Chill out?
Yeah.
All right. Coop, any plan here for the you and the girlfriend there?
If I get corona, I get corona.
Nah, I mean, if either one of us gets it, then, I mean, I don't really plan on isolating.
Yeah, just don't eat anything out of a fish tank. I think that would be probably the best thing to do. All right, let's keep it going. It's Ask Ben. Your questions are answers for the rest of the hour. These are actual questions. By the way, if you like this bit, and we do a similar bit on the podcast, which we'll be recording later today, so if you want to send a question, if it doesn't get on the air today, you can send it into the podcast. Maybe we'll use it on this weekend's podcast. What's next, Koopaloop?
All right, this one is from Frank. This is for everybody. Frank from Facebook.
Hi, Frank.
What are you guys going to do with your $1,200 stimulus check?
Yeah, I don't think I'm getting one. What's the threshold? What's the cutoff on that, Coop?
I haven't looked it up. I just assumed everyone got one.
You have to make below a certain amount of money.
I believe it's $198,000. A couple, not getting anything.
A couple? Well, maybe as a couple, I think. Yeah. Sure, I might get something. I don't know. You know what I'm going to do? It's going to pay off the kitchen is what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do with it. What about you, Eddie?
I don't know what it is. My wife said we're not getting anything.
Yeah, I don't think I'm getting anything either. I think that unless they changed it at the last minute. Roberto, what are you doing with the money? You getting the money?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. I might buy something, go do a little shopping, and then maybe just try to save
those World Series tickets?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Pay off those World Series tickets from 2017, exactly, when the Astros cheated
the cheating
win the World
Astros,
Series.
Yeah.
Or you could go to Vegas and bet it all on either red or black and see if you can double your money when they open the casinos up again. Yeah. Why not?
Good idea. Yeah.
All right, Koopaloop, what you doing with the money?
Well, I'm definitely getting the money.
okay.
Although I'm seeing like conflicting reports here, because I see one article that says individuals earning up to $75,000 a year will be eligible, and then this one says adults earning up to $99,000 a year. But either way, I would keep it because it would go towards the money that I'm going to lose from the flights that I can't cancel without a fee, and the Airbnb that I'm only going to get 50% refund on. So it'll basically make up for all that.
You know what? Now that on second thought, I think I'll get those flights to go to Chicago and watch the Dodgers play the Cubs if it's not canceled.
You know what you should do, although you won't really be the beneficiary of this. If you bought stock, because the stock market, when it goes down again, because it's up and down and up and down, you bought some stock for your daughter at her age, that stuff would be worth a fortune.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
By the time she's an adult, man, she'd be set up, man. She'd be an annoying, snot-nosed punk kid, 20-something-year-old girl. I got all this money in the bank from the stock market. All right, it's Ask Ben. Your questions are answers. By the way, Chet in San Diego says that he knows that DJ Kool-Aid.
Oh, nice.
And, he might be able to get me in contact with the DJ Kool-Aid that I used to know back in the day. I was just wondering what happened. All right, it's Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers. What's next, Koopaloop?
All right, this question is for everybody from Manic Mike. If you were cryogenically frozen for 100 years, what would your first question be after waking up?
Where am I? that would be the question. I mean, you have a ton of questions, right? Like, imagine what the world was like 100 years ago from today, and what it is like now, and if that continued on. I know it feels like right now we're going backwards because of the quarantine and the pandemic and everyone's stuck in place, but once people get back out and life returns to normal, it's crazy the amount of technology. So you'd have to ask a ton of questions, but the obvious one is like, where the hell am I? You know, what about you, Eddie?
Do we have flying cars yet?
Oh, yeah, the flying car thing.
We're supposed to have those by now.
Seems like a good idea because, you know, flying car, you get in a fender bender, you die. It's a good idea. What about you there, Roberto?
Have the Dodgers finally won the World Series? Or did they lose another 30 World Series?
All right, Coop?
Where the weed at?
Where the weed at, yeah. Just think the weed will be so much better in 100 years, Koopaloop. It'll be amazing. All right, let's pause for the cause here. We'll have more of Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers. We'll do another segment of this. So keep those questions coming in. The very witty Maller militia, and they have been some of these comments here. SoCal musician says, your questioning of the hollering James Van Winkle reminds me of the sleepy drunk Chicago radio interview of Vikings quarterback Tommy Kramer the morning after the game, one of the Jim Healy highlights. I do remember that. Yeah, that was outstanding. That was one of the great moments in that show back in the day. All right, more of Ask Ben next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right, let's get back to Ask Ben. Your questions are answers for the rest of the hour. These are actual questions submitted to listeners by listeners just like you. And keep in mind also, we have lame jokes tomorrow. So if you want to send a joke in, you still have time, but do it before the end of the show if you can. BenMallerShow@gmail.com. Put joke in the headline of your email so I know you have submitted a joke. All right, Koopaloop, what do we have?
All right, Ben, this is for everyone. This is from Ezra on Facebook.
Hi, Ezra.
How much toilet paper do you have right now?
Yeah, so my supply is not great. I am more concerned than my wife. My wife does not seem too concerned. I was able to buy a little bit. I was at Walmart over the weekend in the afternoon, and they just got a truck of toilet paper, and there was a line inside Walmart, so I got a little bit of toilet paper. I'm all right. And by the way, I found a website, Ezra. I should give it out. I was going to keep it to myself, but what the hell. There's a website that tracks the Costcos that have toilet paper. Did you guys hear about this?
No.
No.
Yeah, yeah. There's a website you can check, and it's they update it. I'll give you the address. It is a TP tracker. How great is it? You know how there's like websites to tell you the cheapest price of gas? And all that, but the website's Costco97.com, Costco97.com, and then if you click the box at the very top, it's called the Costco TP Tracker, and you can click on that and then figure out which Costco, and it's not just toilet paper, it's also the sanitary wipes, the toilet wipes, the disinfectant wipes, all that stuff, but I have a limited amount. What about you, Eddie?
Unofficially, I think we've got about 30 to 40 rolls.
Oh, that's more than enough.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
You're
fine. We're good.
I mean, you're on top of the toilet paper mountain.
My wife ordered some online when she thought we were low, and then we found out like in the back of our closet that we're like, oh, we've got a giant package of them from Costco, so we're all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we have a few packages, maybe like 7 or 8, I think, left, which is plenty for now. I don't go through
7 or 8 packages.
Well, not the full. No, just like the containers of 4, not the Costco.
Gotcha.
If I had that, I would have lifetime supply. What about you, Roberto?
Like we got like 25 rolls, so pretty good. And I get out of here, early enough where I can go hit up Target like around 7 in the morning, pick up some toilet paper because trying to go to Costco's probably not going to be a good idea.
Yeah, I was at Costco, and it felt like I was back in the dating scene. People were giving me the death stare. You know, because you get close to anybody, they just give you, like, the death stare. They're all wearing masks.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's wearing masks and wearing gloves.
Felt like it was back when I was single, how women used to treat me. I was like, whoa, wait a minute.
Next time I go, I'm going to put on my Lucha Libre mask, man.
I have, like, cooties or something like that. What about you, Coop? How much TP you got?
I'd say we've got about 12 to 15 rolls.
So you're comfortable. Once you get below 10, actually, no, once you get below like 5, you're like, oh, I got to
get up early. Plus, it's just my girlfriend and I, so, I mean,
You're okay.
Yeah.
I got you. All right. It's Ask Ben. Your questions are answers. One disinfected wipe at a time.
Here's another one from Dave on Facebook.
Hi, Dave.
He asked a different version of this question last week. For everyone, what is your favorite Tom Hanks movie?
Oh, listen, Tom Hanks is the greatest of all time, right? In our era, what is the greatest Tom? Well, it's not a sports. He didn't do many sports movies, like A League of Their Own. He was in that. He had There's No Crying in Baseball line, what was famous. Forrest Gump, nah. I could go old school Tom Hanks, like Big back in the day. You ever see Big back in the day?
Yeah, Big was great.
Love Big.
Turner and Big. I'm going old school Hanks. I'm going early days of Tom Hanks. I'm going Big. Wasn't he also in, there was a movie I liked. It was an old movie too. It was So how they were? It was fixing up a house, the Money Pit.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one too. Yeah,
yeah, that's a good one. Maybe I'll go Money Pit. What about you, Eddie?
I got to go Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, yeah, you're going chalk. You're going. You're going.
It
number
is what
one
it
seed.
Is, man. It is what it is.
You're going number one seed, though. What about you, Roberto?
A good old one that I also liked is Turner and Hooch. That was a good one.
Oh, old school.
Yeah. Turner and Hooch. Got to go Forrest Gump, man. Forrest Gump. Yeah.
No, not Philadelphia. You're not going to pick Philadelphia?
No, Forrest Gump. I love that movie, man.
Or what else? Remember The Terminal? Remember that?
Oh, God, yeah. I remember that one. Yeah.
Catch Me If You Can. It's a good one.
I like Catch Me If You Can. That's probably my number two.
Yeah, I like that
number
a lot.
One?
That's it's got to be Forrest Gump.
Yep, Forrest Gump.
It's got to be Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Or Toy Story.
Oh, yeah, too.
But he's been in, like, You've Got Mail was a big one.
Green Mile would probably be my number two.
What's that?
Green Mile would be my number two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, on and on. All right, there it is. Ask Ben. Good job by all. Thank you.